heard the news and I called Doug on Friday and said, "What happened, man? What happened? This is so shocking." And we really want to pray that God will heal him. And please, my brothers and sisters and friends, let's stand together with the family to pray and just to be available for them, letting them know that we are praying. Yeah? And I want to share with you another very important thing that has also caused my heart to be very broken. The church actually has been under attack and by this cult that is going on in Penang for some time. And I just want you to be alerted that some of you may be invited to some kind of activities by this cult that was originated from Korea. I'm not saying that all the Koreans in our midst are cult. Please do not misunderstand me. But I want you to be aware that there is this activity that is going on in our city, right at our doorsteps. And some of the members of our church have been invited to their Bible study and their events. And this cult is very well funded. And they are very, very organized. They are run by professionals, by doctors, by therapists, by acupuncturists, by people in the field of photography and whatnot. They are professionals. They usually come to churches and to be part of the fellowship for some time. And they always appear to be very godly and people who love God very much. And they will make friends with you. And in their friendship with you, they will invite you to their activities. Yeah. And this had happened to a few churches in our city. And let us all be warned. Okay. And they go by the name of Sinchonji, okay, which means a new heaven and earth. Or in Chinese, it is called Xin Tian Di, okay, also means new heaven and new earth. Yeah. And there is also a possibility that they go by another different name. Yeah. And even their leader, who is a lady here, she goes by the name of Hannah Kim. And she also has other names. Yeah. And so please be aware of this activity. And this is what you can do to safeguard yourself, right? If anybody asks you to attend any Bible study outside of this church for now, please come and see me and come and see one of your cell leaders, okay? And we want to make sure that the Bible study that you're attending is not something that is organized by a cult. Yeah. And even activities like cultural shows, food fair, and whatever, right, that has to do with this cult, okay, please be aware. I'm not saying that if your Korean friends ask you to go for dinner, don't go out. Not that, okay. But please be aware that there is such an activity that is going on in our city, right? If you have any question, please come and see one of the elders. Please approach your CG leaders. Yeah. This morning, I felt the Lord wants me to honor my wife. How many of you know who my wife is? My wife was worship leading today, and she was on the keyboard, and she was singing. And I was just sitting there, and tears rolling from my eyes. And I just remember how faithful our God is. And because He had answered my prayer. You know, I married her since 2003 until now, 15 years, 16 years. And my wife is not like that, you know. She is very shy. She is a background person. And so unlike me, you know. I'm a talker. I'm a forefront person. And it has always been my prayer that, you know, God, I want to serve God together with my wife. I want to minister together with her. And to see her coming up here and just worship lead, I just cannot tell about the goodness of God. It's just so amazing what God has done. I just want to honor her. I thank her for taking the courage to take one step at a time to serve God. And one day I'm really hoping, church, pray with me that I will be sitting there and she will be standing up here and preaching. Amen. Let's go into the Word of God. How many of you want to be closer to God? How many of you want that? Come on, this is not a trick question, okay? I want to be close to God. And this morning, we want to look at a passage from the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, to help us to get close to our God. Can I have the remote control, please? Ashley? Yeah. Ashley is my daughter. Okay. And the father is preaching, the mother was worship leading, and the daughter is doing the LCD. Hallelujah. We just love serving God because He is so worthy. How many of you know that Isaiah 66 is the last chapter of the book of Isaiah? And the last chapter of the book is usually very, very important. It is the conclusion. And today, I want to share with you from this passage, and I want to read to you. Isaiah said this in, Isaiah 66, verse 1 and 2. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house You will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things so that they came into being, declares the Lord? These are the ones I looked on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. I say that again. These are the ones I look on with favor. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. Let us pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, I pray for a sense of awe. I pray for a sense of deep reverence for you and for your word. Lord, I want to tremble again when you speak to me. I want to tremble at your word. I want to take your word seriously. I want to take heed. I want to pay attention to your word. Please help me, God. Help us to maintain a measure of fear for you. Because, Lord God, you are awesome. You are great. You are mighty. You are powerful. Because you are Lord. We pray that you will speak to us this morning and develop this sense of awe and reverence for you. I pray this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people say, this morning, my topic that I'll be sharing with you is called Walking in Awe Before God. And let me tell you that this message is first and foremost for myself. I'm speaking this to myself. And I'm speaking also to you this morning because I want you to hold me accountable in my walk with God. I give you the permission to come and tell me at any time when you see that I am not walking in the fear of the Lord. Please, let us hold each other accountable to walk before our awesome God. When I was asked to speak by Jeremy, he gave me a free topic to speak today. And I felt that I wanted to speak to you about this because God has been speaking to me about this matter that I am struggling with. I feel that in my walk with the Lord, I am slowly losing this awe that I have for this awesome God. And God was reminding me about this. My prayer for us and for everyone is that at the end of this message, we will all be moved by God back to that place of reverence and awe before our God. You know the prophet Isaiah who had written this. He had this experience recorded in chapter 6 that he saw God in his vision. That magnificent God, that God is so big. And that his robes alone fill the temple. And when he had this vision of God, he became so fearful. And he began so conscious of his sin that he said that he is such an unclean man before God. That sense of awe that he had in the presence of God. And then in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, where the author of Hebrews talk about the two mountains. Do you know what the two mountains is? Two mountains are the Mount Sinai and the Mount Zion. And the Mount Sinai is such a fearsome mountain that the Bible tells us that it is burning with fire. It is dark, it is gloomy, it is stormy. That when animals touch the mountain, the animals will die. And Moses was so fearful of this mountain. But then the author of Hebrew also talk about another mountain that is Mount Zion. That Mount Zion is so different. It's what a contrast when compared with Mount Sinai. that this Mount Zion is so welcoming that we could just enter into this mountain because of the blood of Jesus. One mountain requires sacrifice, requires death. Another one gives us easy access because Jesus paid it all. You know, sometimes it's just like the pendulum, you know. In the Old Testament, it was just fearsome. And it swung to the other side of grace. That when we sometimes embrace so much of this theology of grace that we lose this reverence from God. We take for granted so many things. We sing about the friendship of God. That God is so loving, so forgiving, so merciful, so compassionate. That sometimes we come to a point where we disregard Him. The pendulum swings to the other side. Church, God is our friend, yes, but He's not our buddy. He is God. We have to maintain that sense of reverence, that sense of awe when we relate to our God. This is so, so important, church. Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, talk about wisdom. And he said that, get wisdom at all costs, but by all means, get wisdom. Because it is so much more valuable than rubies and than gold. Wisdom brings all kinds of benefits to us. Wisdom brings well-being to our souls, to our life. You read the book of Proverbs. But the beginning of wisdom, the pathway, the starting point to wisdom is the fear of God. Is when we start to have fear and that reverence for our God, then we are on the pathway to gaining wisdom. This is what Solomon says. And likewise, if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is the starting point of all kinds of benefits and our well-being, then the opposite is also very true. The lack of fear of the Lord is the beginning of folly and many, many problems. Through folly, your days will be few. Your years will be cut short. Your life will be wasted. You come to think of it, church. How many problems that we have inflicted on ourselves because of this lack of reverence before God. We do so many things that hurt, that grieve the Holy Spirit, because our hearts disregard God, Because in our hearts we say that God is not watching us. God is far away. Nobody knows when I do things in secret. What a fool we are. Lack of the fear of God is the source of many, many problems. In our text today, Isaiah reminded us how big our God is. Do you even realize how big God is? Let Isaiah tell us. You look at the universe, the galaxy, the Milky Way, the planets, the galaxy and whatnot. Isaiah tells us that that is just only the throne of God. And the planet that we are living in is called Earth. That big ball of Earth where billions of people live in, the Bible tells us that it is just a resting place of the foot of God. Do you even realize how big our God is? That God occupies every square inch, every square meter of every space on earth and in the galaxy. This is how big our God is. Can you even imagine that? You know, church, you and I, we have this tendency, we have this propensity to make God become so small. And we make things to become so big. And particularly, we like to inflate our ego. Let me tell you another thing that Isaiah has said here. He said that God has no needs. God does not need anything. He has no needs. Do you know that? God does not need any favor from any one of us. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our time. He doesn't need our talent. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need our sacrifices. Because He has everything. Because He is God. Do you know that? God does not need us. Every hour, every day that God has given us, our breath, our time, our money, our resources, our everything, God is waiting for us to just use that to honor Him. He does not need it. He is just waiting for us to be willing to sacrifice our lives, our everything as an offering to our awesome God. If you read on to Isaiah 66 verse 3, it says that He doesn't need our sacrifices. God, in His kindness, He invites us to serve Him in His kingdom. The privilege is ours. The joy is ours. The honor is ours. God doesn't owe us a single thing. God doesn't want us to kill bulls. He said that whoever sacrifices a bull is like one who kills a person. Whoever offers a lamb is like one who breaks a dog's neck. But Isaiah went on to say this, which we want to learn today. What kind of people, men and women, that God looks for? It says over here that God looks with favor this kind of people. And this kind of people is the one who is humble and contrite in spirit. In short, God is looking for people whose heart is in the right place. That place is the place of brokenness and contrition. That heart is called the lowliness of heart or humility. The example of having a lowliness of heart can be found in the Bible in various places. For example, in Luke chapter 18, verse 10 to 14, Jesus told us a story about two men who go to the temple and offer worship. And one man is a Pharisee, and he began to open his mouth and say, "I am not like the others who are robbers, who are evildoers, who are adulterers, and I am not even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I tithe a tenth of every of my income." And there, this tax collector who is so far away and dare not even look up to heaven, and he begin to bow down before God and say, "God, have mercy on me. I am a sinner." Church, that is called lowliness of heart. That is humility. And this is what Jesus said. I tell you, this man went home justified before God. This man is the man that I look with favor, because he is humble and his heart is contrite. And in another passage in the Bible, in Psalms chapter 25, it says that the person that God confides in, the person that God shares His secret with, the person that the Lord likes to talk to and converse with, is a person who fears Him. W- walking in awe and in reverence of God in our lives. And the one that God looks upon and favor is also the one who trembles at His word. The one who trembles at His word means the one who takes the word of God seriously. How many of us believe what the word of God says? I say really believe, you know. When you read it, you believe because Jesus said it. And if you believe the word of God, the question is, are you obeying it? You know what it means? You know what it means to believe in the word of God? I talk to so many people that they have, what is your favorite passage in the Bible? Oh, Psalm 23. Oh, Psalm 23, I can even recite. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. The question is not whether you can recite Psalm 23. The question is whether you believe what God says in Psalm 23. That He is your shepherd and you shall not be in want. Do you live like that in faith, believing what the Word of God says? That He is your shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd. Because He is our shepherd, we shall not be in want. Do you believe that, church? The man that God favors is the one who takes the word of God seriously. The man who trembles at His word is the man who believes what God has said. Church, I want to stand with you today and say that I know you and I have not arrived. We all struggle. We all struggle with unbelief. I have come to a point where God had to rebuke me and said, "Son, you have lost it. Come back on your knees. Father will show you how." You know, church, one of the problems that I struggle with is pride. How did I lose it? How did I become like that? The answer is because of pride. I have made God to be so small. I have lost the reverence for Him. I have inflated my ego. I lost it. I lose that reverent awe for God. I feel so sad for myself. I don't know about you, But I want to be close to God. I want to come back to that place of reverence, awe before God. Pastor Brooks Check from Bethany University. He said, watch out. Watch out when you begin to develop these propensities. Number one, he said that you frequently like to put all attention on yourself. Danger sign. Number two, watch out for this propensity when you struggle to empathize with the sorrow of another person. Watch out for this propensity when you feel self-pity when you are not praised. Watch out for this propensity when you constantly consider what others think about you. Watch out for this propensity when you avoid people who are better than you at something. And lastly, watch out when you easily find flaws in others. Because if you have these six things, it is likely that the sin of pride is crouching at your door. It's going to get you. It's going to take that reverence, awe that you have for God from you. This is very, very serious. I hope you do not feel condemned. If you suffer with pride issues today, let me tell you that maybe 99% of the people here suffer. The other one is an angel. But church, this is the thing. We have to deal with it. We have to cut it at its root. We have to pay attention to these signs. And we can always go back to Scripture. Scripture. Scripture teaches us so many things. So thankful to God for Scriptures. But today I'm going to show you three passages. I'm going to deal with it. And we're going to return to that place where God wants us to be in. How to deal with pride. Apostle Paul said in Romans 12:13, he said, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Make sober judgment of yourselves. What does it mean? Sober judgment. The opposite of not sober is you are drunk. Sober judgment is judging yourself rightly. It also means humble yourself. It also means lowering yourself. If you still don't understand, it means you do not need to win all arguments. It also means you do not have to have the last say. It also means to be quiet when you feel the urge of wanting to retaliate and kick a person's butt. It simply means that. A good place to return to humility is to become nothing. The good starting point that we can have is nothingness. Is becoming aware of our bankruptness without God. We are all so bankrupt apart from God. That's our rightful place. Nothingness. Number one, sober judgment. Number two, if you struggle with pride, do not talk about your achievements. Do not brag. Do you understand what bragging is? Do not blow the trumpet. If you struggle with pride. This is what Apostle Paul had said. He said, I only boast about my weakness. Paul chooses to talk about the grace of God. How God has used His weakness and perfected it. Make Him to be perfect because of the grace of God that comes in. Nothing to do with Paul. It is the grace of God in His weakness that has made Him to become perfect. There is this power in confession. When you begin to confess your weakness, not to conceal it, not to hide it, you expose it to the light. You don't keep it in secret. That is such an amazing thing that is going to happen. That God is going to tear down that pride that the enemy, the seed that the enemy has planted. The book of Proverbs 28:13 says, he who conceals, means he who hides his sins, will not prosper. But he who confesses them receives mercy. He who hides his sin will not prosper, but he who confesses them receives mercy. And the last example is none other than our Lord, our Savior, our beautiful Jesus. He gave us such a wonderful example. Apostle Paul was saying about Jesus, he who being a very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus, though he is God. He never considers himself equal to God. But Jesus chose to identify with lowly men. And one example in the Bible is in the same chapter 18 of the book of Luke, verse 19. It says, a certain ruler came to Jesus and calls him good teacher. And Jesus responded, he said, why do you call me good? There is no one except God is good. Jesus, being God himself, chose to identify with men, our lowliness, our lack of goodness, and responded to this ruler and said, why do you call me good? He points to the glory of God, that only our Father is good. Our attitude must be like Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, rather made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. In summary, these are the six things to remember. Number one, I started by saying to you that there is a need for us to have a sense of awe and reverence before God. Because this reverence is the key to wisdom. It will bring you all kinds of benefits, and it brings you well-being. And Isaiah reminded us how big our God is, that God does not need anything from us. Our service to God is our privilege, our honor. God does not need it. And the one that God sets his eyes on is the one who is humble, the one who has lowliness of heart, and the one who takes his word seriously. Isaiah says, tremble at his word. And we must deal with pride in our lives, because it stands in our way and brings all kinds of problems to our lives. And there are three suggestions to deal with pride. Go back to nothingness. That spirit of knowing that we are bankrupt apart from God. Number two, confess our weakness and don't talk about our achievements. Number three, imitate the humility of Christ. Shall we pray? Let's ask the worship team to come. And we will now respond to God in our own ways where we are seated. God can see right through into our hearts where we are at this point of our lives. I want us to sing the song. great I am, Lord, my heart can grow so far away and cold. Let us then. Hallelujah. Let us sing and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Allow the Holy Spirit to take us from where we are right now to back to the place of having a sense of awe and reverence.
Thank you.
Father. We do not know how many times we have gotten ourselves into trouble. We have landed ourselves into so many problems because we lack wisdom. And the reason we lack wisdom is because we do not have the fear of the Lord in our hearts. Lord, my prayer for myself and for the people in Ferris Park Baptist Church is that we will have a sense of awe for you. We will have a deep reverence for you and for your word. Father, let your word make us tremble again, O God, when you speak. Let your word resound in our ears and just cause our hearts to burn and cause our feet, O God, to move into action. Help us, Lord, to pay attention, to take heed of everything that you want to say to us. Give us faith, Lord, to believe in everything that you say. Oh God, like that little child, that childlike faith, oh God, who believes when the father says, I want to bring you to Disneyland. And the child believes that the father will bring him to Disneyland. And help us to have that same kind of attitude when we deal with your word. When you say something, God, you will do it. Because you are God and you are not man and you do not lie. Help us to maintain a measure of fear for you in our hearts, O God. For this is our prayer for today, O God. Let us be hearers and doers of your word and dismiss us with the fellowship of your spirit, with your peace and your protection over us and our family. For we pray this in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people say, Amen. God bless you and